Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. Happy Sunday. Please bring your attention to the screen for our announcements.
Real Life Christian Church has the opportunity to bring blessings to many families in our area. We've collected names of families from some local school guidance counselors who could use some extra help for Christmas. Please consider making a donation above and beyond your regular contributions and designating that donation for Christmas for Kids. Together, let's make Christmas truly special for these deserving families. Saturday, December 14th is going to be a big day at Real Life Christian Church. Do you have a dog who likes to show off? Well, please sign up to participate in the Wee Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. You can sign up in the lobby or contact Donna Andrew. We're also going to have a cookie contest, so we are calling all bakers. We have categories of decorated iced cookies, sweet and simple, or a gingerbread house. You'll need to make approximately 6 dozen sample-sized cookies or 1 gingerbread house. We're going to give away samples from 10 to 10:30, so sign up by contacting Donna Andrew. Bring your family and see an enchanting Christmas village in the Real Life Christian Church field on Saturday, December 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can sample delicious hot chocolate, enjoy a hot dog, view the nativity scene, pet the farm animals, and cast your vote for the best Christmas cookie in the contest. Be sure not to miss the Wee Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. The kids can jump for joy in the bounce house after making a Christmas ornament. This is free for everyone, and we wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
GTO has planned another woman's evening out at the Fabulous Fox Theater in Atlanta. We will be heading to the Fox on Thursday, February 27th to see the 7:30 showing of Mamma Mia. Tickets for this show are $66. We do have limited seats reserved, and at this time we have 4 seats remaining. So if you would like to attend this event, please contact the church office. Thank you.
1, 2, vamp, 2, 3, 4. Intro.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and have a seat for me. We're going to open up with a word of prayer, so would you bow your heads with me? Dear God, thank you so much for all of these wonderful people that can come in here and listen to your word and worship your name, and just thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you for this building that we get to come in here. Thank you for the time that we get to devote to giving this month, and just be with us all as we lift your name in prayer and worship. In your name, amen. Now, we have a special presentation by 252 Kids today, with special thanks to Lydia and Lily. So they're going to come out here in just a second, and they're going to do some great things for us.
Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Luke 2:7, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:15. The shepherd said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Rejoice and sing praise.
Let's give it up for the kids. Now I'm going to make you stand back up. We got another fast song.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Repeat intro, full band. Instrumental. Outro.
You can be seated.
Evangelist Billy Graham. And Billy Graham related a conversation that he had had with the former leader of Germany, Konrad Adenauer. And Konrad Adenauer had asked Billy Graham what he thought the next great event in world history would be. And Billy Graham said, "Well, please tell me." And Konrad Adenauer said, "The return of Jesus Christ." Now, don't you wish politicians would say that today? Well, anyway, with these words, Adenauer demonstrated that he had a true understanding of the scripture and its role in world history. We come to this communion time looking back at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to his return. And as we look at these great events, we might ask ourselves, how do I fit in? And we could answer that probably with another question. Am I presenting myself as a holy, pleasing to God, as holy and pleasing to God? Now, none of us are completely pleasing to God, but we can use this time as we come to this communion service to ask ourselves, am I presenting myself to God as a holy and living, pleasing sacrifice? And of course, none of us are completely pleasing to God, but as we partake of these communion emblems, let us ask ourselves, am I anticipating, looking forward to, and preparing for Christ's return? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this communion time with grateful hearts and thankful for your love and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thankful that you've provided us a way to have our sins forgiven and the opportunity for an eternal existence with you in heaven. Help us, Lord, to resist the temptations of Satan. collect our offerings, there are many ways we can give, is through the boxes in the foyer or in the visiting area. The other ways shown on the screen. Let's give our thanks to the Lord for the opportunities we have to worship here and bring off tithes and offerings into his storehouse. Let's pray. Lord, as we bring our offerings to you, please guide and bless their use for the furtherance of your kingdom. Please bless the gifts and the givers in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was last week's video, but that's okay. Merry Christmas, right? So we're here to begin our series, or week two of our series. But before we do, I want to say yesterday we had our Christmas gift giveaway where the parents came and they shopped, and we gave gifts to like 80 kids. It was quite a wonderful thing to do. It really was, and the thing is, we spent that money in good faith that it would come back, and you know what, most of it has. We're almost there. We've almost collected the money that we need to have covered that, but we haven't yet. So if you want to give, we're going to put this slide back up. You can give in those ways, but always mark it for RLCC Christmas, or it won't go towards those gifts. It'll go in the general fund. So I've gave my spiel there, and I've asked you for some more money. Imagine that. So, let's move on into week two. Last week, we started this series, and it's called The Ugly Christmas Sweater. As you can see, I'm in the part. And too many of us, however, find ourselves being ugly as the sweaters we wear at Christmas. I'm not talking about the way you look, either. I'm talking about the way you act. And last week we discussed the need to steer clear of ugly thoughts. And if we're not careful, ugly thoughts become ugly actions, don't they? And we tend to hurt others when we have those ugly actions. Today we're going to talk about our use of ugly words. And it's easy to say things that are hurtful without paying much attention to it, isn't it? You had never done that, have you? Said something hurtful? Well, if you claim you haven't, I need to see you after church because you need some confession. Because to be honest, God wants us really to use our words to build others up, not tear them down. Words are powerful. And I'm going to share an example with you, and I'm going to give you a list of words, and I'm going to put it up on the screen, and I want you to shout out the first thing you think of. It is, you have to participate for this to work. Well, the first one is snow. Cold, right, cold. All right. Hot chocolate. Yummy. Yeah. Yay, hot chocolate. All right, here's a good one. Christmas lights. Pretty, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And what about eggnog? Yuck, yum, which one is it? Okay, well, how about this one? fruitcake. You know. One more. Mistletoe. Ah, that changes everybody's mood a little, doesn't it? All right, you know. But did you notice how each one of these words as individuals brought out a response in you? Didn't it? Some sort of an emotion. And some make us excited. Others, we found ourselves disgusted. I mean, who likes fruitcake anyway, right? You know? If you like fruitcake, you're just in the minority. So, but words carry meaning. And it matters how and when we use them. Because our words hold power, incredible power. And this concept is one that shows up in Scripture often, but especially in the book of Proverbs. It very consistently references words and the mouths that use them. Proverbs is full of a lot of practical wisdom about how we can honor other people. And in Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You never had to eat some soul food, have you? Because you opened your mouth and stuck your foot in it, right? Yeah, I think I've done that many times from right here. But the truth is, God gives us an incredible responsibility, doesn't he? He gives us a responsibility in the way that we speak to one another. Our words hold the power of life and death. How we speak can give one another life. Now, I had a few teachers when I was a boy that had some very negative effects on me. Did any of you all have any of those? You know, one in particular was my third grade teacher who flat out told me that I was stupid and that I would never be anything more than a janitor at a school somewhere. Did not make my mother happy. But there could have been a lot worse things I could have turned out to be, you know. And then in the fifth grade, she was the worst of them all. She was the teacher that would grab you by the shoulders and shake you and tell you you were good for nothing. And it wasn't just me, it was all the kids. I don't know why she even had that job. Because apparently she didn't like any of us. But, I mean, really, she'd get in our face and shake us and get in and tell us you're good for nothing. And I realized years later that many of these negative effects caused me to spend a lot of my younger years and even into my early adult life seeking the approval of everyone. Because I wanted somebody to feel differently than those negative things they had told me. And I was hurt, but I didn't realize how bad. But it also led me to live a life full of a lot of regret. Because I tried to seek approval in ways that were not good. Does anybody here relate? You see, even the people that we love, the people we're closest to, it seems like those loved ones can often hurt us more than anybody else. Their words can do damage that is almost irreversible. And you can almost never overcome the words that you speak to the life of those that you're closest to. But in retrospect, I look back also and see I had coaches and other teachers that saw something different in me. They saw potential. And they spoke positive into my life. And I attribute any success in my life to those life-giving conversations that kind of pulled me up out of that hole. Many people have had things said to them that hurt their self-esteem, damage their emotions, and actually, when that happens, it holds them captive. We can say things that give life, or we can say things that bring death. The truth is, too many Christians have a tendency to overlook the simple truth that our words have an incredible power. It's the Christmas season. We're surrounded by friends and family, and we can do real damage by saying something that we should keep to ourselves. Just because you think it don't mean you ought to say it. You may say things that permanently damage your relationships. And let's just face it, this past year has been difficult, hasn't it? I mean, inflation alone makes it difficult. And these politicians who say inflation isn't real, apparently they never go grocery shopping. And then we go through this crazy election series. It was a madhouse, wasn't it? Where nobody said anything good about anybody. And through all of that, people turned on people. People blame people for their own problems. And they become hurtful. And they attack people. And even though we've been through this year, as Christians, we should be extra careful with the things we choose to say. People are hurting. People are anxious. They're struggling. And I believe much of it has to do with our ability to post instead of say, don't you? We can just, you know, say whatever we want to on social media and post it as anonymous. Right? It's easy to post something and never have to look somebody in the eye and say it. It's no different than going, hey, come here. Let's go over here behind this tree and talk. And you're going to talk about somebody sitting out there. It's easy to do it when you don't have to say it face to face. But here's the truth. Nothing you say or nothing you post will go without coming back. And being a Christian means we make an intentional effort to avoid ugly words, even if you think nobody's listening. And instead, we should speak in ways that leave people encouraged, shouldn't we? I mean, how many of you would rather hang out with somebody who's encouraging or somebody who's tearing you down? That's a no-brainer, right? But here's the truth. We don't avoid sharing hard truths either. We don't avoid, you know, difficult conversations. You're not being mean to somebody if you're confronting a sin. That's not being mean. But you can do it in a way that is not demeaning. You can say things in a way that's not, I'm going to tear you down. Your job is to lift them up out of that sin, not beat them down into it. Because what happens when you beat somebody into something? They just kind of stay there, don't they? So I know we can all agree there's a positive and a negative way to convey truth to others. But the book of James is the most direct and hardest book you'll ever read because it hurts to read it, because it addresses us, each one of us. And there are extensive warnings about the damage our speech can cause. James is addressing the early church, and they're learning how to interact with one another in ways that help move the cause of Christ forward. And that's what James really wants you to do, is shut your negative mouth so that the church doesn't suffer. Oh, man, we should have listened to that a long time ago. Because what is your purpose? Your purpose is to see the kingdom grow, right? You became a Christian, you want to go to heaven, you want to see the kingdom grow. Not tear down the church that you're supposed to be going to see the kingdom grow. You're doing exactly the opposite. But James here, he comes to him, and everything that the church has worked hard to accomplish can be erased in one comment by careless words. Matter of fact, let's just read James 3:3-6. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we will direct their entire body as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue, a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is? Set aflame by such a small fire. Oh, he goes on. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members and as that which defiles the entire body and sets a fire on the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Ouch. Does that hurt? I mean, that's about as direct as it gets, doesn't it? James is teaching us that in order to stop using ugly words, we need to learn to control our tongue. There are multiple examples of large things being controlled by small items. I mean, a horse is controlled by a small bit in its mouth. Ships can be controlled by a small rudder. Even forests can be set ablaze by a little spark. And the same is true for us and our tongue. Though it is small in relation to the rest of our bodies, if we're not careful, our tongues can control us. How many times have you received an email at work that makes you angry? Yes, I've done that. I get them here too, from some of y'all. And how many times have you received a frustrating text? Or run across some idiot on your social media feed that just infuriates you? And too often our first response is want to shoot back, isn't it? A quick email or text or post on their page to express your anger or your frustration. And how well does that work out for you? Slowly I'm learning. I did say slowly I'm learning how to take time before I respond to a situation like that. When I take time to consider what I want to say, I'm able to control my words and keep from causing more harm or causing the situation to escalate. Because most of the time, if I just spout something back out, oh, it's a fight, you know. Without restraint, our words can lead us into a deeper conflict. How many of you like conflict? If you raise your hand, you've got problems. I don't like conflict. You know, but here's the truth. We all really need to learn to put a leash on our lips, don't we? James 3:7 lists off all the animals that have been tamed by human beings, but is quick to say that controlling one's tongue is much more difficult than controlling an animal. And I'm going to dare say most of your pets behave better than your mouths do. You think I'm right? I bet you can tell your, most of you can tell your dog or your animal to sit down and be quiet, and they will, but you wouldn't dare control your mouth. But in James 3:7 it says, for every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Boy, we're a rowdy bunch of people. Of all creation, human beings are the most rebellious. When uncontrolled, our words can be evil. They can be full of poison. Controlling our words, it's not easy, is it? How easy is it? If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have to preach a sermon. You know, it's not something that we can do on our own either. You cannot control your tongue on your own. I know I've tried it and failed miserably. We need the Spirit of God to empower us to control what we say. I mean, let's just face it. There are a few practical ways that we can control our tongue, and it's a grid to run your words through, and I've got a few questions I want you to ask yourself before you speak. The first one would be, will what I'm about to say honor God? How many of you want to honor God with everything you do? Then why don't we do that with our speech? The true test of our words is the way it reflects our Creator. We're made by God to to be agents of love in this world, and we have a choice in participating in that purpose. We represent God. How well is my mouth representing God? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Also, this one. Will what I'm about to say honor the person that I'm saying it to? Honoring someone else means that we express respect and admiration in the way that we speak to them. We can ask ourselves how we might receive these words if they were spoken to us. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said something that you said to somebody else? I bet a lot of us would shut up quick. We could probably make ourselves cry pretty quick if we had to listen to ourself. You know, how we treat the creation says something about how we treat our Creator. You wouldn't want somebody to speak to your children and that you speak to some people. How do you think God feels about you talking to His children that way? What about, what I'm about to say be something I'll regret? I think that's the key, isn't it? I mean, I think we've all said things we regret. If you can lay your head down at night and not wish you could take back something you said through the day, then you've been choosing your words wisely. But very rarely can I look through what I've said through the day and there not be something I wish I hadn't said. Ugly words sometimes cause damage that cannot be reversed. You can't put it back. You know, it's just like when you put something on the internet, they say it's there forever, right? Well, the things you say, once they're heard, they you can't unhear them. We are wise to ask ourselves these questions in order to control our tongue because words are powerful. The reason our ugly words are such an issue during the Christmas season is because this time of year is supposed to be a celebration of the birth of our Savior. It should be about the joy that He brings to us as followers. Christians are meant to be representatives of joy, but we sabotage it when we walk around and we just speak carelessly. James goes on to address this in 9 through 12, where he says, talking about the tongue, our mouth, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From both the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. You know, each and every year, Christians all over the world attend Christmas services and we sing hymns about the greatness of God. And on Christmas Eve, we'll light candles and sing Silent Night in the churches to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And on their way out of church, they'll say curses about them of the people that are in the room with them. It ought not to be that way. James believes this problem we need to address, and I do too, and so do you if you really look at it. He says you can't have it both ways. You can't love God and curse the people that He's created. Whether you like them or not, they're still children of God. A spring can't have both salt and fresh water, and a fig can't produce an olive. Christians can't be so hypocritical that they speak out of both sides of their mouth. We got to learn to speak from the heart, because that's where it's coming from anyway, isn't it? If you're spewing out nasty things, your chances are you got a nasty heart. It's a heart problem. The words we use are a window into your heart. They reveal our need for God to transform us from the inside out. It starts in here. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Luke 6. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Right? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Maybe the place we need to begin in changing our ugly words is actually a healing inside us. Right? Maybe the place we need to begin with our ugly words needs to start with an examination of our heart. Sometimes we speak out of a broken heart and it causes us to lash out. Sometimes we speak out of a hurt heart and it causes us to be cruel to other people. Sometimes our own circumstances determines the poison we spew. It means I have to have an honest look inside myself and use my words to speak life into others. I want to speak from a heart in love. A heart in love with God, don't you? Don't you want when people talk to you, they know that you love God? And if you love God, you'll have to love people. I love people, even you difficult ones. That's what really matters, is that you love all people. You do know that everybody's created in the image of God. And I want to allow the overflow of passion for Jesus to be a reservoir for my language. And it comes from my love from Jesus. The first place we see this is in our closest relationships. When our hearts begin to lean towards Jesus, we see our words towards our spouse, our friends, our enemies, our children, they change to better reflect His love. In his book, Praying Circles Around Your Kids, Mark Batterson includes he introduces a concept of speaking intentional words over your children. Who do you want your kids to be? Speak it into their life. What does God want for your kids to be? You should speak that into their life. You know, he goes on in the book, he says, a friend of mine does this with his daughter. He said to her so often that she can repeat it back to him. She believes it. She believes she's beautiful, kind, strong, and worth it. You should be able to do that, shouldn't you? Words carry meaning, and it matters how and when we use them. This Christmas, I want to invite you to use your words to encourage others and lift others up. May the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ touch your heart in a way that's evident in how you speak to people through the week. You know, it's real easy to be nice to people here at church, isn't it? You can come in here for an hour and just be nice. I hope, please. But what I really want for you to do is to go through those doors. And when you go through those doors, you live it. That your encouragement and your love shows through the way that you speak to people. Take a moment and let the Lord bring one person to mind who could benefit from some kindness this week. Make the decision this week to encourage them. Maybe it's going to be a phone call, a text. Maybe it's a handwritten letter or an intentional go have coffee together. Make time for it this week. And if you're feeling worn down, frustrated, scared, confused, ask God to fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, grace, mercy, and most of all, hope. Maybe it has been a really tough year. Maybe your year has been tougher than anything you could imagine. Let me tell you a little secret. God knows what you've faced. He knows what you've endured. But we can choose today to make the best of what we have and express the love of Christ to others through the words that we choose. Our words matter. I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to think about Mary and Joseph. You know, think about what they must have heard as they were awaiting the birth of Jesus. Here they were, pregnant before marriage, in a society that says she should have been stoned. Think about the words that they heard. Do you think they were encouraging? Do you think they were nice? Yet, God was about to use them to bring the Savior of the world into our presence and set in motion the events that would lead to Him giving Himself up for us on the cross, for our sins. The scriptures are clear that He was carrying out God's plan to the people and shouted insults and spat at Him. And yet, what did Jesus say? Forgive them. Forgive them. You see, we all come back to this point where we love the scene of this little baby born in a manger. And it gives us the warm fuzzies, doesn't it? Don't you love it? We sing Away in the Manger and all these great Christmas songs, these Christmas hymns. And it is a wonderful thought. But I want you to think about Mary and Joseph just for a minute. Society was so down on them that they had to go and give birth in the barn. They knew what it meant to be insulted and beat down. And that little baby that they were carrying, that Savior of this world came so that we might be different than the world. Jesus came so that we wouldn't behave like everybody else. So that we would choose our words wisely. That we would speak life and not death. How are your words being received? And do you need to begin that healing on the inside so that what comes out is the love of Jesus? That begins by making the choice to accept Him as your Savior, coming forward here, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized into Christ, and receiving the Spirit that gives you the power to choose wisely. But you have to choose it. And then you have to choose it for the rest of your life. It's not a once and done deal. It's, you know, is terrible and I need to work on it. My heart is full of hurt and pain. And I'm spewing it out into everybody around me. And I need to stop that. You know the great thing about Jesus? He died for that too. He died because He knew you were going to be hurting. And He knew that you would sin and you would say things you would regret. He knew that there would be things in this world that you needed to overcome. And He died so that He could be there for you, to wash you clean and give you a fresh start. But it all has to begin. And why not begin today? Choose the healing that comes from a Savior who was born in a lowly manger and 30 years later began His ministry that led Him to the cross. Choose Him. If you need to make that choice today as we sing, you can come forward. We'll baptize you today. But the biggest thing is you need to choose and not wait. Christmas is coming whether you're ready or not. And it doesn't matter how many ugly sweaters you wear or how festive you pretend. The truth is God sees your heart. You can't hide behind the lights and the tinsel. He wants all of your heart. He wants your love. And He wants to give you love. Will you choose that today as we stand and sing?
Christ is born. Our shepherds care. Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over
Tabitha. Well, Tabitha has come forward today because she wants to join the church, but she also wants to be baptized again. She was baptized when she was young, and she wants to do it again today. So, yeah. All right, Tabitha, I'm going to get you to repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Amen, amen.
Hold, please. Yeah, you guys can sit down. Okay, we're going to sing another song.
Thank you.
children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
It's a wonderful day. I always say that after a baptism, but it's because it's true. It's always good to see somebody come to Christ, to be part of the church, to be somebody that can now go out and expand the church even more. So if you will, bow your heads with me, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear God, thank you so much for this wonderful thing that you've let happen here today. And thank you for the ability that you've given us that we can just administer to people that hope and love that you give us. So as we go out into the world this week, as Kirby likes to say, let us go be the church, because that is the commission that you gave us. So thank you so much for that opportunity. In your name, amen. Have a good week.